नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदिरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। द रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट 19 इज़न्ट इट ओके 18 सॉरी 18 धनुर्वियति महेन्द्रं निर्गुणं च गुणीनि अभात् व्यक्ते गुणव्यतिकरे अगुणवान् पुरुषो यथा। प्लीज रिपीट। धनुर्वियति महेन्द्रं निर्गुणं च गुणीनि भात् निर्गुणं च गुणिनि अभात् व्यक्ते गुणव्यतिकरे अगुणवान् पुरुषो यथा धनुर्वियति महेन्द्रं निर्गुणं च गुणिनि अभात् व्यक्ते गुणव्यतिकरे अगुणवान् पुरुषो यथा। Mataji's. Dhanurvyati Mahendram Nirgunam Chagunin Yabhat Agunavan Purusho Yatha Danuhu, the bow, rainbow, Vyati, within the sky, Maha Indram, of Lord Indra, Nirgunam, without qualities, or without a bow string, Cha, although, Gunini, within the sky, which has definite qualities, like sound. Abhat, appeared. Vyakte, within the manifest material nature. Gunavyatikare, which consists of the interactions of material qualities. Agunavan, he who has no contact with material qualities. Purushah, the Supreme Personality. Yatha, just as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, when the curved bow of Indra, that's the rainbow, appeared in the sky, which had the quality of thundering sound, it was unlike ordinary bows because it did not rest upon a string. Similarly, when the Supreme Lord appears in this world, which is the interaction of the material qualities, he is unlike ordinary persons because he remains free from all material qualities and independent of all material conditions. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. Sometimes, in addition to the roaring thunder of the clouds, there is an appearance of a rainbow which stands as a bow without a string. Usually, a bow stays in the curved position because it is tied at its two ends by the bowstring. But in the rainbow, there is no such string, and yet it rests in the sky so beautifully. Similarly, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends to this material world, he appears just like an ordinary human being, but he is not resting on any material condition. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he appears by his internal potency, which is free from the bondage of the external potency. What is bondage for the ordinary creature is freedom for the personality of Godhead. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shi Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shi Chaitanya Mishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Jaya Pataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Ram Hare 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 Krishna. I'm very happy to be here in the community of devotees in Alachua. It's my first visit to Alachua, and it's such a beautiful place, and it's, I think, filled with beautiful devotees. It's being reflected very wonderfully by the surrounding, and all these shlokas are similar to that. Here, Sukadeva Goswami is showing his poetic skill, to speak in an ordinary way. And beyond that, he is reflecting the deep conditioned behavior of beings in this world by making very strong similes between nature and how we see it and the behavior of human beings in the material world. And the previous shloka, it was about how the clouds are friendly to living beings and how lightning, which shifts from one cloud to the other, is not a very loyal occurrence. In the sense, he likens it to lusty women who are after seeking more partners, not willing to stick on to any one single person. Now, he is describing a beautiful rainbow. The occurrence of the rainbow is independent, he says. It's very beautiful and it is resting on the sky. Guna vyatikare. Vyakte guna vyatikare. It has manifested itself in the sky, which has got wonderful qualities. But in itself is agunavan purusho yatha. In itself it is not of the same quality like that of the sky, but is uniquely different. So it looks like a bow of Indra. And although it is a bow of Indra, it is called Indra's bow because it doesn't have a string. It's beautiful, like Indra's bow, but not Indra's bow. It's different from Indra's bow because it doesn't have a string. But still it is arched. Have you heard of any other bow without a string anywhere? Does it strike a chord? Where? The eyebrow. Okay. We should rename it eyebow. Anybody else? Oh, really? Boomerang. Did you say boomerang? Yes. Oh, yeah, wonderful. Krishna's glances are like bow, shooting arrows. Great. One more very important thing. Right? You say something? Rainbow is what we're going to talk about. Krishna's lotus feet has got the mark of a bow without a string. Remember that? Krishna's lotus feet have got 19 marks. One of them is a bow without a string. So in that sense, this is likened to that very much. Bow without a string. And it's beautiful. The rainbow is so beautiful. So Krishna manifests himself like an independent occurrence, like the rainbow. Irrespective of what is happening, irrespective of what is the condition, irrespective of the conditioned qualities, Krishna is appearing. So that's a beautiful description of Shukadeva Goswami. But if you go, you must have read about a rainbow, in your school, in your geography, biology class, geography class, etc. You must have read about the rainbow, and they will tell you in science that a rainbow is due to diffraction of light. It's due to dispersion of light. White light falls through a prism, splits into 7 colors, violet, indigo, blue, yellow, orange, red, etc. And it's a whole spectrum. They'll tell you white light splits up into diffraction. And that's how rain, white light is passing through water droplets, and then you see this rainbow. True, that's a mechanical occurrence in the material nature. But here it's mentioned that the rainbow is an independent occurrence, irrespective of the sky and the material grounding and the foundation that is there. And that is how Krishna appears. Krishna's appearance is not dependent on anything material, is not dependent on any type of conditioning. And he appears amongst human beings. Kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava atimartyanti bhagavan guda kapatamanusha. Kapatamanush. Sometimes in North India they will say, ye to hai kapatamanush. He's a false guy. He's not true. He's, cheater, deceiver. So it mentions the Bhagavatam, guda kapatamanusha. The Lord appeared as a human being. He was cheating everybody, looking like a human being, but he was not a human being. So rainbow looks like as though it's a product of nature, but actually it is distinctly different. So Krishna, he is appearing in a manner amongst material occurrences, amongst the human beings, and it looks like he is very much one of us by his own activities, etc., if we mistake it. But if you didn't understand him deeply, If we don't understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will just merge him into the rest of the occurrences in this material world. We will make it ordinary. So it takes a devotee to tell us how Krishna is extraordinary and stands out. Otherwise, for the rest of the people, they are trying to gauge Krishna in a very ordinary way. And there are people who can read even the scriptures and say Krishna is ordinary. Where I preach in Kerala, there are a lot of followers of Shankaracharya. It's Shankaracharya's birthplace, very close to our place, Kaladi. And there, you know the philosophy of impersonalism, Mayavad philosophy, which brings down Krishna to a very ordinary status, or maybe even lower than that, by saying the Lord has got no form. We have a form, yes, but the Lord has no form. Lower than us. So this is very common. Trying to mundanize anything spiritual, trying to mundanize anything transcendental, is a disease of the conditioned soul. Arche Vishnu Shiladir Gurush Naramati Vaishnave Jati Buddhi. Looking at the beautiful forms of the Lord, Archa Vigraha, and thinking it is a Shila, it is a statue. Gurushu Naramati, looking at the Guru and thinking this is another ordinary person. Vaishnave Jati Buddhi, looking at a Vaishnava and looking at him according to his Jati. Here is an American Vaishnava, here is a Hindu Vaishnava, here is a, you know, Indian Vaishnava, he is so-and-so. All these things are because of the infinite capacity of the mind to mundanize everything. Make everything ordinary. So we are constantly fighting against our mental disposition, our material disposition, wherein we make everything ordinary, make everything material. So here it is mentioned by this brilliant example, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, although guna vyatikare, vyakti guna vyatikare, although he is manifesting himself within the material realm, still he is distinctly different. And Prabhupada is saying in this Krishna book that the potency of the Lord, he appears by his internal potency, which is free from bondage of the external potency. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya Ajopisan Avyayatma Bhutanam Ishuropisan Prakritim Swamadishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Although I am unborn, Aja Ajo Apisan Avyayatma Sambhavami Atma Mayaya, I appear in this world by my own internal potency. I don't need to take the help of anybody in this world to appear. I don't need the help of anything in this material world. I simply appear out of my own energy and I disappear. But the people who are in this material world, as soon as they see me inside here, they think, oh, he's one of us. He's one of us because he's amongst us. But the Lord is coming amongst us so that what he says can be heard by you. Like one of us, he says what he has to say. At least then there is some acceptance. But then we go ahead and think that the Lord is one of us. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanum. Tanu means body. Manushim tanum, I took this material body and have appeared. So they all think, the fools, they think, I am just like them. You see, sometimes in India, in the jails, during Independence Day, during Republic Day, the collector, the governor, the minister, they go into the jails, the prison house, and the lots of those prisoners are made to come out with their white little cover on their head and their shorts and their t-shirts. They come out and they're made to sit down in a big area, completely guarded. And then the minister, the collector, he addresses them. He says that you should all become wonderful gentlemen. You should stop thinking in this criminal way. Whatever you have done is wrong. You go blah, 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 everything he says. And on this wonderful day, Independence Day, I want to give everybody a special gift because I want all of you to be free, blah, blah, blah. He does his political thing. And then he gives everybody something. And it comes out in the newspapers, and it comes out on the TV, everywhere. And these people are murmuring. If they did not understand who this man is, if they did not understand what it is, and since they are so much inside the jail all the time, and the four walls, they could very well be thinking, oh, when did this minister become a prisoner too? Because the same inside the confines of the prison house. So this guy is going to join us. He's one of us. Because he's within inside the prison house. But the minister is a free man even while he's inside the prison house. He comes, he goes. He has got his own regiment, he's got his own people. He's just come to speak to you and he's gone. But the prisoner is there because of their conditioning of thinking inside this place. They will think that this person also belongs to this boundary. But he comes, he goes. Similarly, Krishna says, I come and I leave. I have nothing to do in this material world. I have no laws govern me. Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phale spriha, itimam yobijanati karmabhir nasabadhyate. If you continue to think that I am also one of you, that will be the reason for your imprisonment. But when you understand that I am not one of you, that I come and I go, sambhavami atma mayaya, then you become free from your own imprisonment. This is the amazing trick. So Krishna is explaining that to us, and Shukadeva Goswami, by this brilliant example, is telling us that. And the Lord has manifested himself in this particular way. So the rainbow is very nice, very good analogy. You know, there's an allusion to the rainbow that you find a pot of gold and if you chase the rainbow till the end. You've heard the story before? When I was young in school, there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow waiting for you. If you chase the rainbow right up to its end, you can go there and get the pot of gold. So the Lord has got a pot of gold waiting whenever he manifests himself as rainbow. He has got a pot of gold waiting for you. He is not appearing just like that for you. Say, oh, wonderful, very nice, and get back to your things. And the rainbow comes and it goes. The material rainbow, it comes, it goes. But this rainbow is here to stay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is that rainbow. And the chanting of the holy name is the pot of gold. If you follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you follow his instructions, everybody can get the pot of gold. It's an amazing offer. It's not only for one person. In the story that I heard, everybody rushes and the man who makes it first gets the pot of gold. And the others don't get it unless he shares it with them. But here in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, everybody gets gold. He is Gauranga. He is golden incarnation. And he is giving out this pot of gold to everybody in the form of the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, the Lord is independent. But he wants to do good for us. Out of great love and compassion, he manifests his rainbow pastimes to attract us. And then when we are attracted to him, he is helping us to become perfect by rendering devotional service and encouraging us through his representatives, who are also like rainbows. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, his divine grace, is the rainbow of the modern times, eternal rainbow. And by taking association and hearing the instructions of those great personalities, we too can become similar to rainbows and take advantage. So here it's mentioned the Lord is independent. Although he is independent and his pure devotee is also independent, out of his compassion he comes and he, out of his own independent nature, he gives us pure love of God. And then when the devotees accept that love of God and become devotees to the extent that they relish devotion to great way and they become pure devotees of the Lord, then the Lord himself becomes very attracted to them. In other words, the Lord becomes dependent on his devotee. This is amazing. The Bhagavatam says, Abhigya Swara Janmadhyasyatah
Anvayad itratascharteshu abhijna swarat. The Lord is supremely independent. But when it comes to devotion, when it comes to his devotee, Krishna is saying, Aham bhakta paradhinohi ashvatantra iva dvijaha sadubir krasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta janapriyaha. He is telling Durvasa Muni with great feeling. Durvasa Muni has traveled 6 months interplanetary travel with the Sudarshan Chakra chasing him. He fell at the lotus feet of the Lord in Vaikuntha and he told him, please take this away from my backside. I'm sorry. They all bypassed it. Brahma, Shiva, everybody said, it's got nothing to do with me. Sudarshan Chakra has something to do with the Supreme Lord. So I came all the way to Vaikuntha. Can you take this off? And after going such a long way, the Lord told him, I'm sorry, my Sudarshan Chakra is not under my control. Aham bhakta paradhinohi ashvatantra. I am not independent. It's completely different from what the Bhagavatam says. I am not independent. My devotee controls me. Bhakta paradhina. I am controlled by my devotee. I have no independence. And he explains to him, it is Ambarish Maharaj who can withdraw the Sudarshan from behind your back. Although it rests on my finger, it's Ambarish Maharaj who has control over it. It's amazing that the Lord is saying, I have outsourced this control to my devotee. Krishna outsources any material requirement that you have to the demigods. And you can approach all the demigods and get Dhanam Dehi, Vidyam Dehi, That Dehi, This Dehi. They pray to all the demigods and they do that Homa, this Yajna, everything. And then Maya, Apahrita Jnana, the whole knowledge becomes Brashta. And in this way they get material things and Krishna outsources this to the demigods. We thought only that he outsources. But here Krishna is saying, I outsource this type of control also to my pure devotees. In India you have BPOs, Business Process Outsourcing. A lot of American companies have their BPOs there. And all the Indians are working in the night time because it's daytime here and that. They're working in the night and processing inquiries, information, all the lousy job which they don't want to do. It's thrown into the business process outsourcing. And all that is done by so many of them working, sitting and hearing on the internet and answering questions. It's a big job. Thousands and thousands of people get employed. Business process outsourcing. So Krishna is also doing a BPO, blessings process outsourcing. Whatever my blessings, I give you a BPO, it's with my devotees. You go back to Ambarish Maharaj and please request him. And Durvasa Muni came back again with that scorching Sudarshana on his backside, singeing his skin. He came all the way back and fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj and said, never knew you were so powerful. He fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj also did not know. I had control over the Sudarshan Chakra. I didn't know that. Neither did he know. But as soon as he forgave Durvasa Muni, the Sudarshan Chakra left him. See? Amazing is the power of devotion. Pure devotion to Krishna purchases Krishna. It purchases Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, hearing Vasudeva Datta's whole prayer, that let everybody go back to Godhead. I will take all those reactions on my head, their sinful reactions. I alone will suffer. Everybody else can be happy. Hearing that, Lord Chaitanya became so pleased that Vasudeva Datta shared the same heavy feeling with great compassion that Lord Chaitanya had. And then he said, Vasudeva Datta has purchased me. He can sell me in the bazaar if he wants. He has purchased me by his love, by his devotion. So Krishna, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he declares that in Bhagavad Gita, Matta parataram na anyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mahi sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva aham sarvasya prabhavo mattas sarvam pravartate. He speaks about his greatness as God, as Bhagavan. And then he gives his hint in the 18th chapter that Manmanabhavamadbhakto. Actually, one thing which you did not ask me, Arjuna, you never asked me about this, but I want to tell you, I gave you answers for all these questions, but I want to give you one information. Simply become my devotee. Everything will be done. More than what you expect will be done, because I will be your property. If you develop pure devotion, then I am sold out to you. I am sold out to you. So although Krishna is here, is independent, yes, to the materialist, to the person who has no devotion, to the person who is a jnani, to the person who is a karmi, yogi, all of them should understand that Krishna is independent. But a devotee knows that Krishna sells himself to his devotees. So Prabhupada used the word, Krishna is hungry for your love. He is waiting to reciprocate with you. You see, when Sudama, he appeared, he walked such a long way, and his wife had given him three mushti, three fistfuls of flat rice, begging from the neighborhood, and given him a hint, if you can, ask your friend for some help. We are suffering this great poverty. So Sudama, he thought, yeah, great, I will go. And what was his motivation? Aham e paramo labho uttama shloka darshanam. He thought immediately, param labha, greatest benefit for me is I will go and see Krishna. So my wife is giving me a chance to do that. Here I go. He left. He went all the way, walked up all the way, dust, dirt, grime, hot sun and everything, and landed up in front of Rukmini's palace as he was turning around the corner and inquiring and finding out, is this Krishna's place? And it was so huge and amazing palace. And here comes Sudama, skinny, clothes torn. Bhagavatam says ribs are sticking out of his skin for not having eaten and drunk any water for so long. Complete poverty. With his torn clothes, he was just very humbly walking on the side and trying to move inside that palace. Krishna was sitting on a big couch, fanned by Rukmini, attended to by so many attendants, and he was enjoying the association and company. And as he looked out through the doorway and he saw there the old shrunken Sudama coming, for a moment he just threw up everything, and it's mentioned he ran, his uttariyam fell down, and he just ran, said Sudama, and ran all the way. And went up to that Sudama, you know, just walking up, so tired. He went and embraced him. He embraced him. And then the Bhagavatam says that he put his head on Sudama's neck and started crying. He shed tears. He was so happy. And the people in the palace were wondering, who is this half-naked fakir who has come? And why is Krishna is so much attracted to him? What does he have? What does Krishna does not have in this palace? Our attendance, our attention and everything. And Krishna brought him, hugging him, embracing him inside, made him sit on his couch and washed his feet, and watching that everybody in the palace, oof, this must be a super important VVIP for Krishna. He looks like some beggar from the street, but it must be somebody. And then Rukmini started taking the fan and fanning him. Because the Lord is washing his feet, we should all do something, some ancillary activity. So Rukmini took the fan and the others ran around and brought this and that and everything. And Krishna washed the feet of Sudama. And then he sprinkled the water on his head. He drank the water and he sprinkled it on everybody in the palace. And everybody was stunned that they were talking to each other. Who is this person? Who is this person? They were murmuring to each other. And Krishna laid Sudama to rest, had him take a bath, gave him fresh clothing, gave him a big feast. And then after he had rested, again Krishna attended to him. It's mentioned he took his feet and placed it on his hand close to his chest and massaged his feet. And then asked him for the most important thing that he wanted. He wanted that thing which you have brought for me from home. And now Sudama after watching that palace and that opulence and the treatment that Krishna gave him, Sudama was thinking, no, I'm not going to open that stuff. That was under my armpit, filled with sweat. And already it was something that my wife begged from here and there. It must be stinky. It must be, I'm going to give this to him in return for all that he has done to me. So he said, I'm going to open that. So Krishna, but he knows as super soul in the heart of everybody, he is wanting that. The Acharyas are explaining, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he is wanting that. So he is asking, so how is everything? Remember we studied together in Gurukul, etc., etc. And then Krishna is waiting and Sudama doesn't come forth. He doesn't want to offer it. So Krishna is reminding him, how is everything at home? How is your wife? At least you remember, yeah, my wife gave you something. But no, Sudama, he has decided, I will not give it. So he gave a hint, how is your wife? How are things at home? No, it didn't come out. Then Krishna, Kim upayanam anitam brahma me bhavata grihat. He shamelessly asks, what gift have you brought from me, from your house, O Brahmana? I mean, will anybody ask a guest, like, if somebody comes home, he's your guest, and you do all these for him, you ask him, did you bring a gift for me from home? Is that the type of stuff will you ask anybody? Sometimes the kids ask each other. They will ask, I gave you this, did you bring anything for me? I gave you this. Okay, we're good friends. I gave you this, you gave me that. But look at here, Krishna, he is begging, please give me that. And he's given enough hints, but Sudama is not taking it. So he directly asks, did you bring any gift for me from home? And what can Sudama bring? A tattered finery, cloth and everything he's giving. But he's shamelessly asking him, did you bring any gift? And then Sudama is completely embarrassed. My gosh, he knows about it. But I'm not giving it to him. And then after that, it's mentioned, Krishna simply snatches it from him. He sees a bag hanging around, a small bag hanging around his shoulder. It's Bhagavatam says he snatches it from him. And Sudama becomes very ashamed. My gosh, took it from me. And then he opens it in front of everybody in the palace. And then he exclaims, oh my dear friend Sudama, you brought this for me from home? Amazing gift you brought for me. He makes it a big thing. And he opens it. He starts eating it. And he relishes it. He relishes it. This is what Krishna wants from Sudama. He wants that reciprocation. He wants that item which you bought for me. Because that's a friendly reciprocation with me. Your wife has given it to me. You have come to give it to me. Give it to me. Why are you denying it? I'm waiting for that. This is what Prabhupada meant by saying, Krishna is hungry for your love. That is why devotion is so important. If you show even a little bit of that, Krishna will fan it because he's hungry for it. So in this way, Krishna is dependent on everybody, on all his devotees. So we can manifest a little bit of that devotion and we can do plenty of it under the wonderful guidance and blessing of his divine grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Then easily, it is a process. Bhakti is such a process that very easily you can attract the attention of the Lord. If you are simply chanting offenselessly and not committing any aparad, and we are offering ourselves according to the instructions of Prabhupada in the service of the Lord. So although Krishna is independent, true, he is dependent. And he's Prabhupada is such great personalities, pure devotees of the Lord like Prabhupada. We are on their shadow and shelter, and we may not be qualified at all. But somehow or the other, because we want to follow Prabhupada's instructions, and if we do that, Krishna will look at us. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki. I'm trying to keep on time. 5 minutes excess, I'm sorry. Any questions or comments? Can I take one or two questions, Mataji?
Yeah.
Because here, I got a note here. Okay. Prabhu?
Yeah, I just have a quick comment and a question. In the commentary, the
You explained it very nicely. It was great. It's refreshing to hear an Indian sannyasi who speaks good English, actually. Most of them, okay. Hard to figure out what they're saying. Anyway.
I thought you were going to say you have devotion and things like that. Anyway.
you have that too. But it says that Rukmini wouldn't let Krishna eat very much of the chip rice because she was worried he would get indigestion. But the question I had was that Devasa Muni, he's not the same one that gave Radharani the blessing to cook anything with nectar.
Yeah.
Is it the same?
Yeah.
So how come he has such a kind of demoniac side to him if he's also able, so powerful, to give blessings like that? What is it?
That's a nice question. But I understand that Krishna performs his pastimes in Leela, and in that many of these great personalities also take part. And while they take part, it means that they also have a role to play. So like you said, they may not be pure devotees of the Lord. You'll see that in the Mahabharata, you'll see many great personalities have taken part in Krishna's Leela. And you'll also see that they have another side to themselves. But by the mercy of the Lord, because of the fact that they are suras, that they are devas, because of the fact that they are inclined to the Lord, because of the fact that they are perpetrators of the Vedic science, Krishna uses them. But it does not mean that they are pure devotees of the Lord. This is my understanding. Just like there's a wonderful quote of Prabhupada in another level that says that Queen Kunti and Arjuna are not eternally existing in the spiritual world. They are eternally there in the material world in all Krishna's leelas. Just like Krishna is in the spiritual world, he is also eternally in the material world performing leelas in various different domains. And in all these domains, there are persons like Arjuna always accompanying him. Sometimes even simultaneously. In other words, Prabhupada is saying that Arjuna can expand and incarnate himself in various ways with Krishna to accompany him. But they're never in the spiritual world. They're eternally performing Leela with Krishna in the material world, and they're such devotees. So that's like, they're not, you know, like gopis and, you know, Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamai. But they're with Krishna all the time. In the same way, on a different level, Krishna also gets to see the demigods, and the demigods also see Krishna and have a relationship with him in a different way. And they know their own shortcomings, but still they are included with Krishna here and there. So I presume in the same way all these great rishis and sages, brahmanas, who are following Krishna's instructions in the Vedas and teaching other people, they also take part in Krishna's Leela in that sense. Okay? Right. Yes, Prabhu? I know Adikarta Prabhu. Can I also get to know some names? Your name?
Mukunda Das.
Haribol.
So I've also heard from Jiva Goswami Pad that Durvas Muni is a pure devotee, that he's called Durvas because the difficult, dura services of the Lord reside in him. Like some difficult services the Lord will also give to Lord Shiva, like to preach Mayavad or anything, but Lord Shiva, same time, is Gopeshwara Mahadev, so he's very elevated. Sometime Durvasa Muni, he sits and he watches at Durvashtila, the Leela of Krishna playing with cowherd boys, and they come and sit on his lap and question who won the fight. I won, he won. So very elevated. This is why Jiva Goswami Pada says that Sudarshan could not burn him though. It followed him to give darshan of the danger of aparad to a devotee, but would not burn him. And he had entrance into Vaikuntha Dham to the darshan of Narayan without prior appointment.
Yeah.
And but your point that he told him, you know, that Aham Bhakta Paradino Dishlok, that I am not independent. This is the important part in that. But that he is elevated, therefore he can carry out services that are very dur. So he's called Durvas.
Okay, thank you. Interesting. Anybody else wants to make a comment? Yes. Pushkar Prabhu.
I don't want to make a hard question, but in the first canto, the one or two places, Prabhupada mentions that the Pandavas went to the spiritual world in the self-same body, so, but it's difficult to understand. If they're only in the material world, how will they go to the spiritual world?
Or if they're only in?
As we're mentioning, and it seems like they're only in the material world, or Prabhupada even said it, you quoted it. At the same time, in one, at least one or two purports in first canto, that the Pandavas could go to the spiritual world in the self-same body. I'm not exactly saying, but almost exactly, he says, in the self-same body, which is also inconceivable. You know, when Yudhisthira and all five went to Himalayas, and then said something like that, I couldn't say exactly what where it is, but it's the self-same body they had. In other words, they could go to the spiritual world in the self-same body. So I don't know, that's incomprehensible.
So you want me to comment on that?
Yeah.
How the Pandavas went in their self-same bodies.
Yeah, does that doesn't negate the fact that they can only stay in the material world, or as we're saying, or they have spiritual bodies when they're in the material world. It says self-same and spiritual, I know that. I don't know if anyone could say the exact
spot. Well, we'll add to that a little bit, some more information. The Mahabharata, Madhvacharya says, can be understood in 18 different layers. The persons who are wanting moral, ethical type of understanding, pretty elevated they are, want to follow Varnashrama, etc., etc., they would see that in terms of duty, in terms of other things, etc. And the Pandavas, all of them were also Amshas of the demigods, like Yudhishthira was Yamaraj, Amsha, and Arjuna, etc., etc. And they also happened to be pure exalted devotees of the Lord. So they were a combination of many different aspects. It's a little complicated, it's not so easy. There were spirit soul inside a body like that alone. There were many other aspects to them. These eternal persons who are eternally present with Krishna in their pastimes. Right? So the Amsha of them that's got pure devotion and their eternal aspects, I mean eternal relationship with the Lord, they went back to Godhead. And the others went back. That's why there is a description, Swarga Rohanam chapter in the Mahabharata, that all the Pandavas were going to Swarga because they came from the demigods. That's how they came. Arjuna, you know, was conceived from Indra with Kunti, etc., etc., like that. So there were various aspects of the Pandavas and each one of them returned to those particular places. And then I presume that when Prabhupada says that, it means that they also had their spiritual bodies manifest when they were in relationship with Krishna and doing those pure devotional activities, and they would also have ascended in that way. You can say it's a speculation, but this is how I would understand that. Because everything is possible with devotees and with Krishna. There are multifarious energies working, so many things happening. It's not one thing alone, simultaneously. That's my take on that, a little understanding. I can accommodate that.
That's good. Hare Krishna.
Right, okay. Oh.
Shivaram Swami is quoting from the Padma Purana. He says that Arjuna actually became a gopi for a short while.
Gopi?
He was quoting from the Padma Purana to experience, because he wanted to know what the, you know, the feeling of a gopi was to Krishna. So Krishna let him experience being a gopi.
Ooh.
But then he had to get back to being Arjuna. But he didn't want to.
Short stint. yes, Prabhu?
It's a comment. In school we study mathematics, and then it's kind of like stagnant and a little boring. Then we apply it. We have applied mathematics, and it's a little more interesting. In a similar way, we have our philosophy. Actually, our philosophy is wonderful. But then when a devotee applies the philosophy and then shares it with others, then it becomes pure nectar. So I just want to thank you for sharing your experiences, applying the philosophy, and you know, thank you very much. You're wonderful.
Hare Krishna. I want the blessings of all senior Vaishnavas here, Prabhupada's disciples, that I may continue to do my dharma and preach and keep within Prabhupada's track and help to bring other souls into Krishna consciousness. Need your blessings and prayers. Om Tat Sat. Shri Prabhupada ki.